is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, brethren. I speak in a human way for the weakness of your flesh, for as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. When you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Gospel today is taken from that according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. For not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. By their fruits you shall know them. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Today, Matthew chapter 7 comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we had something from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So to give you a bit of context, Christ is still seated in the seat of Moses, preaching his great discourse. Today, we will think about the 3 points, very simple: creation, catastrophe, and then recreation. First, the creation, because Christ in this beatitude that we have today, Sermon on the Mount portion that we have today, is speaking of the good fruit. So fruit is the theme today. It's all throughout the liturgy, the fruit, bearing good fruit. So we think of fruit, we think of, well, when's the first time fruit is mentioned? Of course, that's right in Genesis, right in the creation account. So let's start there. You recall, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it in 6 days. And he planted in the Garden of Eden, in addition to the wonderful fruit trees, he also, as it were, planted man. He planted Adam and Eve. He named Adam, of course, and then he named Eve after he created her. And that is the first and most radical vocation, calling. He called all things out of nothing, but then Adam and Eve he called in a special way. He called them out of nothing too, but he also gave them names. Very important. We don't know that God gave anything else names in that first bit, but particular names, not just rock or mineral or plant, but specific names: Adam, man, and Eve, mother of the living. And that is the first vocation, the first calling by name. Now that vocation, God extended. He said to Adam something very similar. He says, "I want you also to do something similar to what I have done." And so he gave Adam a vocation, a mission. He said, "I want you to go and till the fields, make it fruitful, tend the garden, make your wife fruitful and multiply, and also name the animals." These are all beautiful tasks, beautiful vocation that God gave to Adam. And also to walk with God in the cool of the garden. That also was man's vocation. to walk with God in the Garden of Eden. So that's all in the background of today's gospel, creation. Okay, point two. Well, that's a nice idyllic beginning, but as you know, after the first two chapters of Genesis, we get to the third chapter. Dun, dun, dun. The catastrophe, the fall. Catastrophe is a Greek word meaning fall. Okay, so we have the fall. Well, what's happened there? Well, continuing this vocation idea, theme, we have the idea that basically Adam and Eve both refused to be called by the name that God gave them. What do I mean? I mean, they refused to correspond to their vocation. God had given them a vocation and a name, become sons and daughters of God, be with me always in the garden. And they said, non serveam, I shall not serve. I'm not going to be called by the name you gave me. I'm not going to do the vocation that you gave me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so the fruit of the tree, which was going to be for them, but they took it on their own according to their own reason, and that fruit, which was to be the fruit of eternal life, became, of course, the fruit of death, as you all know. And so when God, in the afternoon, went to look for Adam in the garden, he called him by name, Adam, Adam. But Adam did not respond. He's hiding. Just as you and I hide every time we choose our own will, sinful will, rather than the will of God, we hide. We're hiding from ourselves, maybe members of our family, our neighbors, thinking that we're also hiding from God. Of course, that's just a lie. It's impossible. God sees all of creation, what we call past, present, and future. All of that is just a little moment, always eternally present before God. So, as you know, just reminding. And so, in addition, along with Adam and Eve, of course, all creation fell, and they too refused the names that Adam had given them. Because, well, if Adam and Eve get to do what they want, well, I guess we'll get to do what we want too. If you doubt this, just take a little walk down Wolf Creek here and look at those wolves and try calling them by name and see what happens. Please do this behind the fences that are there, otherwise you might get gobbled up, okay? So we know that creation has rebelled, and so we go to look for grapes, and we find wild grapes and thorns. And we go to look for figs, and we find thistles, as Christ says in the gospel today. Those thorns and thistles also grow up in our hearts every time we choose sin. And so, we're in some dire straits, aren't we? The catastrophe. Okay, now we have point three. Thanks be to God, we have the free creation. So God, of course, sees all these things. And what's he going to do about it? Well, you know the story. I'm just trying to tell it to you maybe in a little bit different way. So then God says, well, I have an idea. I'm going to have a new creation. We're going to start with Eve. So I'm going to have a new Eve. I will decree the Immaculate Conception. So Our Lady, from all eternity, preserved, free from any stain of sin, personal or original. And so, God does not crush her will, but still gives her a choice. Even though she's created immaculate when she grew up, and now we have the Annunciation, the moment of choice, which is before each one of us, also, each according to his state in life. So the angel asks Our Lady, do you consent to be called by this new name, the true Eve, the true mother of all the living? Will you be the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the mother of God? You know the story. She, of course, says, yes, fiat, be it done unto me according to thy word. And so Our Lady is the only human person, created human person ever, perfectly, at all times, in every way, to completely correspond to the name that God gave her. Okay. In that way, she has a unique place in salvation history, of course, because the story doesn't just leave us on the margins, but God calls us too. He calls us not only by our creation, infusing directly the soul into each one of us at the moment of our conception, that's there, but then, of us here, I think we're all baptized, maybe we have one or two, maybe not, or newborns, but then that's a radical new vocation. At baptism, something real is happening. It's not just a nice little ceremony so we can have a little white cake and a baptismal garment. Something real is happening. God is taking hold of us in a new way. That's why we get a new name, a Christian name. You can't be baptized. Well, never mind. We'll leave that later. So we get a new name at baptism. Now, most of us were probably baptized as infants. And so we don't think of it necessarily as a new name. We think of it as a name. But really, it's a new name. We still have the ceremony of confirmation, not only a ceremony, but the sacrament, in which the custom, of course, is Latin tradition to choose a new name different from your baptismal name at confirmation. That's that same idea. Why do we do this? It's not just something quaint. It's really the idea that God is calling you in a new way under the sign of confirmation, and we're all called to correspond to that. So today, this is still on our point three here, the recreation. That's the gospel and the epistle today. They're calling us to examine our consciences. Are we like the foolish landowner who doesn't work on his field at all and just goes out to the field and expects to be able to harvest grapes and figs? That would be like if we did not have a serious daily prayer life and expected somehow that we would become holy. Well, I'll just go to Mass on Sundays and hopefully do my best to stay out of mortal sin and maybe go to confession once a year. Well, okay, but don't be surprised if when you go to look into your soul for the fruit, you find instead then thistles and thorns. Because certainly the spiritual life is no easier than cultivating a field. Rather more difficult, isn't it, as you all know? It takes daily work. The daily work is prayer. It has to be there every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Each one of us, according to our state in life, has to have a rule of life about prayer. That is the way that we will have the spiritual harvest, that we will correspond to the names that we received in baptism and confirmation. God bless you, and Ave Maria.